invite you to stand to your feet one more time and join your neighbor by the hand. And I want us to go to the Lord in prayer one more time before we open God's Word together. And I do, if you don't care, to just cross those aisles. I want to pray for two different groups of people this morning. I want to first pray for all of our veterans, veterans' families, people who have served us and who have, in the providence of God, served the Lord by serving in military. And so we want to pray for all of those families and pray for our veterans today. But even more so, and I think all of you veterans will understand the urgency of what I'm about to say, this morning, Sutherland Springs Baptist Church, what's left of them will be meeting. I want us to pray for those brothers and sisters. And for all of those who were believers, who were born-again believers, they died in the faith last Sunday. I believe that they are looking on from heaven, knowing the joy of the Lord. To be absent in this body is to be present with Christ, the hope of every believer. And I have had several people call and say, "Preacher, is our security up to date?" And all of these different things. And I promise you and assure you, we are doing everything that's humanly possible on this side to make sure we're always safe. But our safety is really, really the second thing that we are concerned about. We are concerned about God's name being made famous at any cost to us. And so whether that is, Lord, leading us to China to share our faith, and then we are imprisoned because of our witness, and we lose our life in martyrdom, or whether that is because there are sick and sinful people who are in our country or who come to our country and want to go into a church and shoot it up. We pray for those people who are lost, and we pray that God would change their hearts and lives. You all affirm that by saying amen. Amen. And then we pray for the dear people of Sutherland Springs, and we pray that God would open our heart to His Word this morning as we continue in our series. God, You are so faithful, and it is Your very life in us that allows us to lift a holy hand or to bend a knee or to join hands to come before You in intercession for our brothers and sisters in Christ and for people who have, in Your providence, served You by serving our country and who have been ministers, Lord, to us in this freedom that we enjoy as citizens of this country. God, we recognize that, Lord, veterans are a gift from You, and so we pray for them. We pray for their families. We pray, God, that for every man or woman who has served You, who is living here today, God, we pray that You would encourage them and bless them and remind them of our great sense of gratitude and appreciation and thanksgiving for their service. And then, God, we want to pray even so much more, God, for our brothers and sisters of Sutherland Springs. God, we pray that You would encourage those dear people, that You would encourage that pastor and his wife. And I pray, God, that by faith, even as the passage we're going to read today, that by faith they're going to understand where their daughter is and, God, how You are going to bring triumph and victory through tragedy and loss. God, I pray that You would help those folks as they meet together today to remember that all things work together for good to them who love You and are called according to Your purpose. That, God, You are sovereign, and, Lord, that only You can bring any amount of good from a tragedy as senseless as last Sunday. So we pray for our brothers and sisters in Christ. And, God, we pray for people who would seek to do Your kingdom, Your namesake, Your people harm. God, whether they be terrorists or whether they be people right here from our own country, from our own communities, God, I pray that you would help us as a church to see how tremendously important it is for us to take the Lordship of Christ and the gospel of Jesus Christ so seriously that we are out witnessing and sharing, God, the glorious gospel, and in it alone that has the power to save and to redeem and to restore and to change and to bring life, to transform. And so, God, we pray this morning that you would use us for your name's sake. And then, Lord, we commit those folks to you. And then, Lord, last but certainly not least, God, we pray for the word that we're about to receive out of Hebrews chapter 11. God, as we consider value-driven leadership and, God, the place of faith in that, will you draw our attention to every word that we're about to read? And I pray, God, that you would not only feed our souls, but, God, you would transform the way that we live. God, we thank you for Christ, who forgives us of all of our sin. If you're thankful for Jesus this morning, church family, say amen. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated this morning, faith family. And I want to encourage you to take God's word and find with me Hebrews chapter 11. And find with me verse 8. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8. And today, as we continue in this series of value-driven leadership, I would remind you that we've talked about integrity in the first week as we looked at the life of David and how David even dealt with his sins in a very good way, how he dealt with his sins in a very profitable way, and how he turned to the Lord with his sin. And then after that, we talked for a couple weeks on the importance of stewardship, recognizing that our influence and the leadership that God entrusts to us is really a gift from the Lord, and we're just really managers of all that God is really entrusting to us. And so we talked about the stewardship of leadership, how important it is that we understand that God wants to use us and to really point men and women to Him, and that we are just managers of God's great design and what He intends for us, and really in His providential plan. And then the third week, we talked about truth, how truth is this essential characteristic and quality of what it means to be a leader: integrity, stewardship, and truth. And we looked at the life of Joshua and how his life was shaped by trusting God's word, how it was shaped by the promises of God. And then today we are going to be looking at the life of Abraham through Hebrews 11, and then really just several passages throughout the book of Genesis as we consider faith as this essential component in making us God-honoring leaders. I would say to you, somebody asked me, they said, out of all these qualities that you're looking at, is there one that you think is more important than the other? They weren't here the first Sunday, and I said, well, you need to go back and listen to integrity. Integrity, character, is for sure the number one quality of any God-led leader who's going to use his influence for the glory of God. But the second thing is not just integrity, but I would think faith. Having this idea of trusting God for the impossible. Really, that's what faith is. And if you're going to be a faith leader, a leader in your home, a leader in your job, a leader in the church, a leader in your community, wherever God's calling you to exercise the influence that he's entrusted to you, you better be a man or woman of faith, realizing that just because you're a leader doesn't mean you are top tier. And as the plaque on, I think, Truman's desk said, the buck stops here. The buck never stops here with you as a Christian leader, whether you're a man or a woman. There is always one who is higher than us, right? And our faith is in him. Our trust is in him. And so we look to him by faith, and we ask him to grant us even more faith as we are leaders who are seeking and trusting God to really do the impossible and the very things that he wants to accomplish within our hearts and lives. And so look with me at a wonderful passage of Scripture, Hebrews 11, known as that great faith chapter. But particularly, I want us to look at verses 8 through 19 as it pertains to Abraham and to Sarah. And I want us to consider today how Abraham was not only trusting the Lord, but God led him to trust him for the impossible in many different areas of his life. We begin reading in verse 8, and the Hebrew writer says, "By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance, and he went not knowing where he was going. By faith, he went to live in the land of promise as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. By faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive, even when she was past the age, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man and him as good as dead, don't you love that? Therefore, from one man and him as good as dead, were born descendants, as many as the stars of heaven, and as many as innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. These all, the generations of Abraham, these all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For people who speak thus, people who speak this way, what way? Trusting God with incredible faith. For people who speak thus, make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of that land from which they had gone out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. And by faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises was in the act of offering up his only son, of whom it was said, "Through Isaac shall your offspring be named." Abraham considered that God was able even to raise him from the dead, from which, figuratively speaking, he did receive him back. Father, thank you for your word. Lord, I pray that you would instill faith in the faithless. Lord, I pray today that by hearing the word of God, that, Lord, you would not only impute your righteousness, but God, would you grant us faith to believe it, to hear it, to receive it. And I pray, God, for that man or woman who's here, that teenager who's here, who, God, previously maybe lost in their sin, they've come into the doors this morning apart from Christ. I pray today would be the day that they leave in Christ. And I pray, God, for all of us who are believers, that today, Lord, would be a day that you encourage us and help us to realize this wonderful place of faith in our life as leaders and men and women of influence. And so, God, I pray that you would be honored, that you would glorify Jesus as we open this text and work our way through it, is my prayer in Jesus' name. And all of you said amen. I love how the Hebrew writer starts Hebrews 11. He simply says, faith is the assurance of things hoped for. It's the substance. It's the material. It's the guarantee. It is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. In verse 6, he says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who diligently seek him. Without faith, he says, it's impossible to please him. And that as we respond to him in faith and as we seek him in faith, that God rewards those who seek him. In the story of Abraham, we learn that Abraham's faith in God and his obedience to God, he hears God speak, he takes God at his word, which is a step of faith. And the Bible tells us that it is Abraham's faith that was counted as righteousness for him. He was looking forward to not only faith in God as he led him to the promised land, but he was looking forward to all the promises of God being fulfilled, all the spoken word of God being fulfilled. And so he was eventually looking forward to the Messiah himself, the long-awaited promised word of God who would come, incarnate, and dwell among us. I love the very idea that apart from faith, it's impossible to please Him. And so as we're considering leadership, whether you're a parent here today, a grandparent, whether you're an employer or an employee that has supervision over people, maybe you're a business owner and you think, man, this is my business. I'm going to run it the way that I need to or the way that I see fit to. Maybe you're here today and you're employed by the school system or by Western Kentucky and you're responsible for leading students and children, college-aged children. Whatever your level of influence is, I want you to know that with faith, using your influence in faith will make you a better leader, and using your influence apart from faith will make you a worse leader. Does that make sense? If it does, nod at me like this. Because only in faith does God really receive the intended glory that He is wanting to bring to His Son, His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. Faith is an integral part of us following the Lord as faithful leaders. I love Jason Allen, just one of our gifted leaders in our Southern Baptist Convention. He's the president of Midwestern Seminary. And concerning this relationship between leadership and faith, I want you to listen to what he says. He says, power to lead is found in those moments when in the pilgrimage of following God, God says, go and we go. The Lord says, wait and we wait. And he says, halt, and we gladly halt with faith in him. This way of expressing leadership breathes daily life and power into what could otherwise be a dormant, passive faith. It also provides for regular surrender by returning back to God and laying at his feet the achievement of the very thing he's entrusted to us, our call of leadership. And so what he's saying is, we really as leaders can't get very far from this characteristic of faith if we're going to be faithful leaders. That in our daily getting up and our laying down and our daily stepping out or our stopping, that we are considering how we must do that in accordance to God's word and how we must do that by faith. And so faith is this indispensable quality of value-driven leadership. And we really want to ask God to grant that to us. May there be a lot of different things said to us or about us as leaders, but may it be said, those people were men and women of faith. They didn't always get it right, but man, at the end of the day, they were landing and trusting in faith in the Lord and His Word. And so I want to just give you four wonderful nuggets out of this passage of Scripture today. Moms, I hope that you write them down because this is going to help you be better moms. Dads, I hope that you will write these down, or wives, write them down for your husbands so dads, you can be the best dads and granddads that God wants you to be. No matter what your influence is, will you pay attention and heed God's word? Number one, faithful leaders follow God into the unknown. If you see anything in the Hebrew narrative of what went on in Abraham's life, you see that in accordance with Genesis chapter 12, that Abraham followed God into the unknown. That's a scary venture, is it not? I mean, God shows up and he tells Abraham, I'm fixing to lead you out and I'm going to lead you to a land that you're unaware of and that you don't know. And I want you to get up and take your family and I want you to follow me into the unknown. I'm not for sure where you all are at, but that just doesn't strike me as a normal part of my everyday life. I'm sort of OCC. I want to know, or OCD, not OCC. I'm OCC too, but I'm a little OCD. I want to know where I'm going. I want to know what's ahead. Tracy, every week, hears this multiple times during the week. What's the plan? What's the plan for this week? What's on the agenda for today? I'm a to-do guy. Give me that list, and I want to go boom, 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 mark it off and be done with it. And that's not necessarily good for when God's calling us to live by faith, right? I'm not making any kind of case for not being prepared. I am just saying to you that is so contrary to hear God say to Abraham, Abraham, I want you to follow me and I'm going to lead you to the unknown. That's just not normally conducive to our human fallen nature. We want to know where we're going, how long will we be there, how much will it cost, what kind of obstacles are we facing, or what kind of joy are we going to experience. We want to know everything about everything. If that's true of not only your pastor, it's true of you. Raise your hand high today. That's just true of me. And so here is what we need to hear. The Hebrew writer is saying, by faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. Here's the narrative in Genesis, Genesis 12, 1 through 5. The Lord had said to Abram, leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land that I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I'll make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse you, and all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you. So Abram left, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him, and they set out for the land of Canaan, and they had arrived there. Tony Evans said that when God leads someone into the unknown, he says that really God will meet you where you are in order to take you where he wants you to go to experience his plan and purpose for your life. That is exactly what God's doing in the life of Abraham. He says to Abraham, Abraham, I want you to follow me. Let me ask you a question this morning. When was the last time that you followed God into an unknown situation or to an unknown place or into an unknown relationship, but you knew God was saying, I want you to go there. I want you to do this. I'm leading you here. And that you said, Lord, I don't know how this is going to turn out. I'm not for sure what's going to happen. But by faith, I'm trusting that you're leading, and so I'm going to follow you into this unknown. You may be here this morning and say, Pastor, that's absolutely absurd. That doesn't make any sense. It's not logical. Why should I follow God into the unknown? Because God leads us into the unknown for not just our benefit and not just his glory, but for the glory and blessings of countless others. And so from this story of Abraham, specifically, his initial call, here's what we learn. Faithful leaders follow God into the unknown because God's call to the unknown is meant to be a blessing for you. It's meant to be a blessing for you. This is not some trick. We don't serve a God who's underhanded or sneaky or secretive. We don't serve a God who's this jokester or prankster who's wanting to set us up so he can have fun at our expense. God loves us. He shaped us. He made us. He molded us. He has a wonderful plan for our lives. And when he calls us to follow him, even into the arena and area of the unknown, we need to do that knowing that God's call to the unknown is meant to be a blessing for you. God said to Abraham here in Genesis 12, I will bless you. And he says the same to you and I today. The Lord says, if you will follow me, you will receive and you will experience blessing because I am a God who is true to his word. I want to say something to you today. I want you to please hear and understand this. On the heels of that shooting last week, I've heard and I've read people say, that church must have been disobedient to God in some way for God to allow that tragedy to come upon them. Now, I want to just say something. The person who said that is supposed to be a believer, and I am telling you that is not a faith response in any conceivable or imaginable way. I want you to understand here, when tragedy comes to your life, it is not because God is cruel or God is unkind or God is unloving and he's trying to torture you. When you get diagnosed with a disease or a sickness, or you're a young family and you miscarry, or you are laid off from your job or you're fired, it is not because somehow God is unkind and he is toying with you. That is not the God of Scripture. That is not the God of the Bible. Faith says, I'm trusting the God of Scripture. And the God of Scripture says that he loves us. And that he cares for us. And that he has a plan for us. So you may be here and say, well, preacher, what was it then? If God was not punishing somebody for something that they had done in their life, some sin in their life, then what was it? It is the very fact that all of creation is living under the curse of sin. And while all of creation is living under the curse of sin, we will encounter sinful people who do sinful things, and that sinful opportunity and response and consequence not only affects lost people, but it affects the saved as well. If you understand that, please say amen so I know that you're getting that today. Are you understanding that? Faith never says God's cruel and unkind. So when God calls to the unknown, it's meant to be a blessing to you. But here's another thing. God's call to the unknown is meant to bless others through you. God told Abraham that following God would result in his life becoming a blessing to others. The very adventure of God is always about making us a channel, a conduit, a vessel of his blessings to others. When God saves us, he saves us to use us. He saves us for his glory. He saves us that we'll be men and women who will serve him and serve him with gladness, and that we will witness and that we will share and that we will point people to his glory. Some of you may be here today and say, preacher, you know, I understand that, but when I get to the point of being serious with God and surrendering that I would be a vessel that is used of God, I'm afraid that I'm going to end up like you and be called to preach. I want to tell you, there are hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people who are serving the Lord today, who are not serving him in the form of being a pastor or a preacher, but who are gloriously bringing the name of Jesus honor and glory through the way that they are serving him, right? Don't think I'm going to end up being 5'9" and whatever and look like Elmer Fudd if I surrender to what God has for me. Absolutely not. It's the idea that God wants to use you when he leads you to the unknown to be a blessing to others through you. I want to say to you, next month, in the month of December, we're going to unfold and talk about for 6 weeks or seven how God's using you to reach people around the world and having influence and impact on others, and you just don't even begin to know the lives that are being touched in and through you. See, there are a whole bunch of people, that little vacation Bible school teacher who had me, as she would light matches, like six at a time, and then we would blow them out in that little church basement as kindergarten and first grade VBS kids. And then once they cooled down, we'd take them and glue them on a cardboard cross, and we made this wooden cross out of matches, and how I just thought that was the neatest, grandest thing, and how she talked about sin, and she talked about fire, and she talked about consumption, and she talked about how Jesus extinguished and took care of all of God's wrath and fury for us on the cross, not using those words. I learned that lesson as a first grader up in Chicago, Illinois. When I got saved at 19, I tried to find out who that lady was, because her faithfulness and service had a tremendous impact on me, because it was the first time that I can remember anything about the gospel that God used to begin to shape and convict my young heart. I don't know who she is. They couldn't find out. A matter of fact, the church, Garfield Ridge Baptist Church, was closed down. But I am telling you, if she is in heaven today, she knows who she is, right? You will never know how, when God leads you to service, even in an unknown place, how God's going to use you to bless others, and how your life of surrendering and following the Lord will have an impact and influence on others. And then lastly, God's call to the unknown is to bring blessing to the next generation after us, not just generally to others, but specifically to the next generations who follow after you and I. If you want to be a faithful leader, you teach your children and grandchildren how to be young men and young women of faith, how to take God at his word, how to expose themselves to God's word, because faith comes through hearing the word of God, right? So you lead your children and hearing the word of God, understanding the word of God, so that God will take his word and engender faith to them. God's call to the unknown is to bring blessing to the generations after us. After arriving in Canaan, God told Abraham, to your offspring I will give this land. We should always be aware that the choices we make to follow the Lord today will impact generations to come. So in the Valley of Vision, the Puritans prayed, and may we pray like them and with them today. O Lord God, who has called us, who has called us your servants to ventures of which we cannot see the ending, by paths as yet untrodden and through perils yet unknown. Give us faith to go out with good courage, not knowing where we go, but only that your hand is leading us and your love is supporting us. Amen. May we pray that. God, may we be willing to follow you to the unknown. So if you're here today and your business is failing and you think, I don't know what in the world I'm going to do, God knows. If you're here today and your family is a little bit fractured and maybe there's some relationships that aren't great and you're thinking to yourself, I'm not for sure how this thing is going to turn out, God knows. If you're here today and you'd say, this path that I'm traveling right now is not the path that I would have chosen for myself, how in the world is it possibly going to end? I don't know and you don't know, but God knows, right? And so may we, by faith, pray and say, God, wherever you're leading, may I be faithful and obedient to go. Faithful leaders follow God into the unknown. Calvary family, are you ready to go there? Are you ready to go there? No matter the cost, no matter what that looks like for our community, are we ready to step out in faith and be faithful to the Lord no matter what that looks like? Number two, faithful leaders receive God's promise for the impossible. I want you to listen to verse 11 and 12 and how rich and wonderful it is. By faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive even when she was past the age, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, Abraham, and him as good as dead, were born descendants as many as the stars of heaven and as many as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. Do you know that when the promise of Isaac, the promise of a son, came to Abraham and Sarah in the plains, listen to this, in the plains of Mamre. This is the vision, the theophany, the vision of the Lord showing up at the tent of Abraham. And he comes to Abraham with two angels and he begins to speak. Abraham was 99 years old. Sarah was 89 years old. She conceives almost a year later. Abraham's 100 years old and Sarah's 90 years old when Isaac is born. When you read that account in Genesis 18, you'll remember when the Lord came and said to Abraham, where is Sarah, your wife? And he said, well, she's in the tent and she's getting us something to eat. And do you remember the Lord spoke to Abraham and said, I am telling you, your wife is going to conceive and bear you a son. And do you remember Sarah? She's in the tent and she overhears this. She's listening and she laughs out loud. But somewhere between her initial encounter at age 89, you're going to have a kid, and her laugh, to the time that she gave birth, the Lord had changed her mind and her attitude. Because the Bible says here in Hebrews that since she considered him faithful who had promised. Don't you imagine that she probably just was sitting there and thinking, well, I've hoped for all these years, Abraham saying, this is the Lord who's coming, and while I find it comical, I guess I have nothing else to do but to trust in the Lord and see if he brings it to pass. And you know what? The Bible says that the Lord brought it to pass. What is the lesson of that? Faithful leaders receive God's promise for the impossible. It is this. God is at his best when things seem impossible. God's at his best, y'all. He's teaching me that lesson right now with my two older sons, Caleb and my daughter-in-law, finally a second woman in the family beside Tracy. They're up at Southern, and they're working, and Ruthie's working at a church. They're going to 9th and O. Caleb's working in a communications office. Gets to work with Dr. Moeller a lot. It's hard, man. They're scraping by, you know. We taught them. We said, now listen, one of the things that happens when you get married, you leave your family, you leave them financially, right? And so when they're home, mom and dad want to be a blessing, say, can we give you some funds? Can we help you? How's your finances? And Caleb's like, Dad, I got this. I remembered a lesson. Mom, I got this. I remember a lesson. They've not in a year and a half have they asked for anything, not once. They'll go hungry before they ask because he's going to prove to his dad, I'm a man, right? That's what he's trying to do. And so they're up there, and any of you that have been through seminary or you just got married, you're working, you're trying to make ends meet, you know what that's like. And so they're trying to do it God's way. We're saying, no credit cards. Don't be going to buy your grocery on credit cards. You guys get out, you work hard, you go to school. So he's taking all these classes. So the other day I said to him, how's it going? Just tell me, how's it going? Do you feel like seminary was the direction that God was leading you in? Here's what Caleb said. Caleb said, it's probably been the most difficult time in my life, but he said it's really the most rewarding time of my life. And so I was so grateful to hear him testify of that and bring that. And so I don't know what the Lord's going to do with Caleb and Ruthie. Some of you all think that we're bringing them here, and we're not bringing them here. The Lord's using him somewhere, right? He's taking them out. And I have no idea. And here's the neat thing. They don't know where they're going. But they're in a really faithful place. Now listen to me. Being seemingly nowhere with the Lord is better than being somewhere without the Lord. Are y'all hearing me today? So Levi is saying, I'm wrestling with this call to missions. I feel like I should. And so, you know, Tracy and I are just at that place where God's teaching us to have faith. Lord, you know if you're calling him specifically to be involved in international missions beyond this trip this summer. God, you know the people that he's going to be encountering. And Lord, we certainly don't know. After those three basketball players got arrested for shoplifting sunglasses. And by the way, that's what they do to you. You steal sunglasses, they arrest you, and they put you away for 10 or 12 years. That's what you do. I'm not recommending we do that here in America, but maybe if we did a little bit more of that, we wouldn't have all the stealing and thievery going on, right? You say, wait a minute, preacher, wait a minute, you're meddling. I'm just saying there's consequences to breaking law, right? And so I don't know what the Lord's going to do in that situation, but here's what I do know. God is at his best when things seem impossible. So let me really speak a good word to you. And I really want you to hear this. If your marriage is crumbling and you think the best route is divorce and separation and you've yet to try it God's way, you don't know what God has in store for your marriage. If you're here today and you think to yourself, I do not like my boss. I'm not going to work for this guy. I'm not going to work for her any longer. I've had it up to here. And you've not tried it in faith, right? In faith, God's way. You need to say, God, I want to be an employee who's really faithful. And I'm not for sure what you're going to make of this relationship. But God, if you make something of it that I think is impossible, glory be to your name. Trust God for the impossible because he is at his absolute best. Faithful leaders take God at his word. Paul said, now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we could ever ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him, to Christ, be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever and ever. Mark 11, therefore I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, Jesus said, believe that you've received it and it will be yours. Paul says, 2 Corinthians 5:7, for we live by faith and not by sight. Jesus said, did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? John 11:40, James 1:6, but when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like the wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. Listen to Elizabeth Elliot. Listen to Elizabeth Elliot, whose husband gave his life so that the gospel would get to the Aka Indians. If you believe in a God who controls the big things, Elliot said. Listen to what she said. You have to believe God who controls the little things. It is we, of course, to whom things look little or big. God is control of everything. If you believe that, say amen. And so we want to trust him. Faithful leaders receive God's promises for the impossible. I hope you trust the Lord in that. I hope you are ready to follow Him wherever He leads, and that you know that He is at His absolute best. Verses 13 through 16, faithful leaders set their sights on God's intended future. These all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar. Faithful leaders set their sights on God's intended future. Leaders must focus on God. If you're here and you're going to be a God-honoring leader that leads by faith, it is essential you see the big picture of what God is doing to bring glory to Himself. And the only way that you are going to see that is through God's Word and to get out of Glasgow, Kentucky. You need to go see how God's at work in Louisville. You need to see how God's at work in Appalachia. You need to see how God's at work in Bowling Green. You need to see how God's at work in Covington. You may need to get out of Kentucky and see how God's at work in Florida, or how God's at work in Houston, or how God's at work at Sutherland Springs Baptist Church, or how God's at work in California. But if you say, can't I know and understand and see the big picture of what God is about just through His Word? You're going to get most of it in His Word. But when you see the Word at work in reality, when you start seeing, when you're on a trip and you say to a young lady who says, what do you do? What do you do? And I say to her, a young Chinese lady who's with Wes and Kim Page, and we're eating dinner, I am a teacher. And she says, a teacher of what? And I said, a teacher of Scripture, a teacher of the Bible. The Bible that Wes and Kim read and believe? And I say, yes. And she says, I want to learn it. And I said, well, great. We can start tomorrow and set it up. And she says, no, I want to learn it now. Right? When you start seeing and hearing stories like that and encounter people like that, and glory to God, long after Carol and Justin and I left, God brings this young lady named Son to faith in Christ, right? And there's churches springing up all over China. Not until you believe God's Word and then you trust Him to see how it... Why in the world are we more excited about seeing Mickey Mouse and Disney than we are about seeing God at work in Warren County or in Covington or in East Kentucky? Somebody say amen besides Mike Pickrell. Mike, me and you ain't going to be here long, brother. Are you hearing what I'm saying? We get excited to go watch LeBron. We get excited about Michael. We get excited about football. We get excited about everything. How about getting excited about how God's at work changing lives? Faithful leaders set their sights on God's intended future. Leaders understand that God-sized vision blesses God and it unites His people. Listen to Randy Alcorn in his book entitled Heaven. He says, he who lays up treasures on earth spends his life backing away from his real treasures. To him, death is loss. He who lays up treasures in heaven looks forward to eternity. He's moving daily toward his treasures. To him, death is gain. Faithful leaders set their sights on God's intended future. If any of you are wondering if God's true to His Word and heaven is real and eternal life is real, I am here to tell you, it is sure as done. It is real. God has prepared a place for us. And the Bible says, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man. How glorious that place is that God has prepared for us. And then lastly, faithful leaders respond with radical obedience and belief in God during times of trial. Will you stand to your feet as you hear this last wonderful word from the Lord in verses 17, 18, and 19. Faithful leaders respond with radical obedience and belief in God during times of trial. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, he offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promises was in the act of offering up his only son. Now listen to this. of whom it was said, through Isaac shall your offspring be named. Can't you imagine Abraham thinking, you gave me the son and you're telling me that through him there are going to be generations after generations, but you're telling me to go up here on Mount Moriah and offer him as a sacrifice. And through radical obedience and belief in God, Abraham takes Isaac. You all who've been believers for some time, you know the story. And he takes him up on Mount Moriah. And the testimony in Hebrews 11:19 is, Abraham considered that God was able even to raise Isaac from the dead, from which, figuratively speaking, he did receive him back. Faithful leaders respond with radical obedience and belief in God during times of trial. Here's what's such a blessing. Abraham knew that if God was going to command him to offer Isaac as a sacrifice, he believed that God would raise Isaac from the dead. No lack of faith, no wavering here. He, in radical obedience and belief, is trusting the Lord during this intense trial. Matt Chandler, the pastor of the Village Church down in Flower Mound, Texas, young man, God's got his hand on him in an incredible way, he and his wife, Lauren. He was diagnosed with brain cancer. He went through a surgery. They removed a tumor. He went through a lot of radiation. Somebody asked Chandler, what were you learning through that process, Matt? And here's what Chandler said. The greater your knowledge of the goodness and grace of God upon your life, the more likely you are to praise Him in the storm. He was saying, apart from God's goodness, Him revealing Himself to me through the Scripture, that is what allowed me to praise Him during the storm, during the trial. Piper says, life is wasted if we do not grasp the glory of the cross, cherish it for the treasure that it is, and cleave to it as the highest price of every pleasure and the deepest comfort in every pain. What was once foolishness to us, a crucified God, must become our wisdom, our power, and our only boast in this world. I don't know about you, but I just want us to pray today and respond and say, oh God, will you help me to be a faithful man or woman? Oh God, will you help me become a faithful leader? Help me to respond in radical obedience as you call me and position me in trial. Help me to trust you for what's impossible. Help me to trust you with my future. God, help me to follow you into the unknown. That faith honors the Lord. So how many of you will come and gather around here today and say, I want to join you, Pastor, in praying that God will make us, in response to the hearing of His word, that God will increase my faith, that I'll ask for more of it so that I can honor Him as He uses my influence. How many of you will come and do that right now? You'll just bow before the Lord and say, oh God, increase my faith. You'll just come and say, God, use my influence. And God, may my influence be rooted and grounded in faithfulness to your word.